thank you very much. That's a quick overview of, we can go ahead and stream now if you'd like to. Quick overview of what we've been doing. And again, you know, the greatest thing that anyone can do for us or anyone living overseas is pray. And so we covet your prayers as we follow the Lord. And the Lord has blessed us and helped us and delivered us out of many situations. He is faithful to do that. I want to share this with you. I didn't get a chance to share this earlier, but we are also working on publications. You know, we, interesting enough, you know, Asia, between China and India, we have 2.5 billion people. So the world's population is 7 billion. So one-third, well, actually more than that, about one-third of the world's population just in those two countries. So we have a large population in that part of the world that did not have the infrastructure that we've had. They've had to develop from a third world country into now more developing nations. So 46% of internet users in the world come from Asia. 46%, we're about 24% the U.S. So, you know, we've always had technology here, and our society has grown and developed with the technology. In many third world countries, the technology society has not grown at the same pace as technology. So you see people, you know, living in third world conditions with modern technology. And so the same is true in China. And so in Asia, this is the computer. It's a smartphone. No one carries an iPad. No one carries a, I'm sorry, you know, this is a certain product. I don't want to offend anyone. So, you know, this is an Apple product. If you're a Samsung user, we'll pray for you at the end of the service. No, I'm just kidding. Samsung's the leading brand in Asia. But anyway, this is what they call a smartphone. I don't know why it's smart. I have no idea. You know, I remember, how many of you remember when we didn't have these things? How many of you remember we didn't even have pagers? Remember pagers? I was raised in the country on a farm. I'm a farm boy. So we had a party line. See, now we're going to start revival. See, there's people who know what a, you say this to young folks, they, what? You mean you had a party? No. Party line. You know, we had 5 or 6 people. You have to explain this to younger people, even my son. And so party line is not everyone had their own line. So you shared a line. Right? So you had your own ring, right? So, but, you know, even when the neighbor's phone rang, it rang. So people do this. That was our Facebook. Knew everything going on, right, in your, on your party line. Well, that's been a long time ago. So now we have these things called smartphones. And I believe, you know, whatever's been created for the benefit of mankind, humanity, I believe God's in it. We can use it. So these guys may have not realized they're creating this really for us to use, but we're using this technology. You noticed in the video that we are officially the first recognized online program. We've been working on this. It's all in Mandarin. And so we're going to launch this hopefully by the end of this year, try to launch 3 or 4 courses. We're going to have 12 courses online, all in Mandarin. Brother Hagin's going to be teaching in Chinese. He probably never thought he could do that, but he is. And so we have all these courses available to all Chinese-speaking people around the world. And we're going to use this technology to reach into Chinese-speaking people everywhere in the world and give this to churches so they can use it as Bible studies, as courses within their church. And then online, we'll not only have different video formats, but audio formats and downloadable PDF books. We're translating. We just finished 8 titles of Brother Hagin's books in Chinese. We have another 8 titles we're looking at this year. We're putting all of Brother Hagin's books in Chinese online as soon as we have all the resources to do it. This is Foundations of Faith in Chinese. All of them will be online, Amazon, Kindle. All of them. And anyone can access them and download them. So this is the computer that Everyone in China. China has 1 billion cell phone users. 1 billion. And 85% of them have smartphones, and 85% of the country pretty much is covered with, you know, a lot of the country is covered with internet access. And so, you know, now people don't really have to carry Bibles with them. They just download them to their phone. And you can download them free. And so we're taking advantage of that technology, and we're going to put a lot of stuff available free so people can just download it and use it. Thank God for technology. If Paul was alive today, he would be using every form of technology and transportation to spread the gospel. If he was in the Aegean Sea on board ship, he'd be Twittering you. I don't know if he would or not, but anyway, he would take advantage of that technology. Just think, Paul did what he did and he walked everywhere. Just think what we can do and should be doing with all that we have available. We are living in the last days. Amen. I want to share some statistics with you and just encourage you here briefly before we go today. Encourage you about the time in which we are living, because we're living in remarkable times, exciting time. This is the best time to be alive. The best time to be alive. And I want to encourage you and then share some things with you that will help you become involved with what God is doing in these last days. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for this church and what this church represents in this community and the surrounding areas. And Father, we thank you that this church is a light, a beacon of your word and your truth and your anointing, your Holy Spirit that is here, Father, to transform and change and impact the lives of people. We thank you for this church, the leadership, the pastors, everyone a part of this church. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you said, Jesus, you said that upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not be able to hold it out or to stop it. And so we thank you, Father, for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Jesus, that you came to set us free, to give us new life. And Father, we are so grateful for the precious Holy Spirit who lives in us. He is our comforter, our teacher, our guide. And Holy Spirit, we look to you today to reveal to us the truth of God's word. And for everything that is revealed and accomplished, Lord, we give you all the praise. And we lift up and we magnify the wonderful and the majestic name of Jesus Christ. We give you praise and glory and honor for everything. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everyone said, amen. If you have your Bibles, I want you to open them with me to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, thank God for a lot of good light. I appreciate light. You know, I don't know. You get a little older, it just seems like the light starts getting dimmer. It's not my eyes, it's the light. 2 Peter. Real quick, I want to look at this scripture in 2 Peter. I want to share some things with you, what's going on in the world. 2 Peter chapter 3, I'm not going to read everything. But if you read this chapter, Peter is talking about the end times and what people are saying in reference to the end times. And then in verse 12, Peter says, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God. Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God. Now, if you look this up, you know, different commentaries, all of them pretty much agree that we should be looking for, expecting Jesus Christ to come back, and he is coming back. Now, I don't want to leave this world before we have completed the assignment that God has given to us, before we have the opportunity to get as many people saved as possible. That's our commission. That's what we are called to do, to preach the gospel in every nation, to every ethnos, to every ethnicity, to every people group, and then the end shall come. So that's our assignment. That's what we are here to do. But here also there is an interesting play on words that Peter uses, and he infers that we, the church, can do something to speed up this process. That is to reap the harvest, to bring Jesus back. And if there's something that we can do to speed up the process of getting the gospel out and bringing Jesus back, then I want to be a part of that. Now look at James chapter 5 and verse 7. I'm sure you're familiar with this verse. James chapter 5 James chapter 5 and verse 7. And this also is in reference to the coming of the Lord Jesus. Now, you understand that there are two things that we need to be aware of concerning the coming of the Lord. There is what we call the second advent, or Jesus coming back to this earth physically and his feet touching down on the Mount of Olives. And at that time, of course, Jesus will establish his government. Pastor Greg read what he read. He read it, quoted a scripture from Isaiah, the government shall be upon his shoulders. Think about that. Government. And so Jesus spent more time talking about the kingdom of God almost than anything else when he was here. And so Jesus is going to establish a system. It'll be a theocracy. He will rule, and you, the church, all of us who are born again, will rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. Hallelujah. Now, that's one dispensation. We are living in a period of time right now. Age means period of time, beginning, ending point, dispensation. Many refer to this as the church age or the last days or the age or the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. But we're living in this period of time, and that time will end. And a new dispensation will be ushered in when Jesus physically comes back to this earth. Now, what's exciting is this, that if you read what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1, that in the ages to come, I don't know, that excites me. See, there's more to living than, you know, getting up, going to work, you know, coming home and eating supper, watching TV and going to bed and repeating that over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. You are here by divine purpose. There's not a single person in this place this morning that is an accident. I don't care what anyone told you. My dad used to say I was a mistake. But you're not a mistake. Not one person on this planet is a mistake. As a matter of fact, God knew you before the foundation of this world. You are here by divine purpose and design. God wanted you here to be a part of his family so that you could understand the kingdom of God, so that you could understand who you are in Christ, so that you could grow spiritually and be trained for this life and the life which is to come. 1 Timothy 4:8 says that God spiritual or exercise profits little. I always quote that to my wife because she's a physical education health major. But she doesn't buy it. She still makes me exercise. I married my own personal trainer. I used to, you know, Zig Ziglar said, you know, my form of weight loss was to fill the bathtub full of water, pull the plug, and fight the current. But that didn't work. That didn't work. Faith without works is dead. I found that applies to exercise. I don't like exercise. It's painful to me. My wife, on the other hand, thinks it's a stress reliever to run, you know, to exercise. So anyway, God joins us together. God works in mysterious ways. No, he doesn't work in mysterious ways. We work in mysterious ways. God doesn't work in mysterious ways. No, but anyway, bodily exercise profits little in comparison to godliness. Godliness, the Amplified says, spiritual training has the promise for this life and the life which is to come. This life and the life which is to come. This life is temporary. In this life, we are being prepared and trained to fulfill what God wants us to do and be prepared for the life which is to come, and that is the next dispensation is to rule and to reign with Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, don't you guys know you're going to judge angels? He's writing to that church. He's writing to the church at large. We are going to be involved with what God is doing even in the next dispensation. But now we're living in this dispensation. And so Jesus said, the works that I did and do while I was alive, you will do, and greater works than these shall you do because I go to my Father. And the reason we can do those works is because Jesus said it's expedient or to your advantage that I leave. If I do not leave, the Holy Spirit will not come. But when he has come, he will be not just with you, but in you. And so everything we do by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. In this life, we are to understand who we are in Christ, so that we can operate in what God wants us to spread the gospel around this globe so Jesus can come back. James chapter 5, verse 7 says, be patient therefore, brethren, unto what? The coming of the Lord. So he is coming. Be patient. Then he goes on to say, see that the farmer visits or waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until he receives the early and the latter rain. The early rain, the latter rain is a type of, a description of, a work of the Holy Spirit. Early rain, many people believe, refers to the initial outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Now we are living in the latter rain. It is a movement, a work of the Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus said, nobody comes to the Father except I draw him. Who draws people? It is the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit has to have something to work through and to work with. He works through the body of Christ, and he works with the Word of God. Amen. Now, there's three things I want to share with you that will help us, three things about prayer that will help us in hastening the return of the Lord and helping to preach this gospel, spread this gospel around the world, because it is growing. I just came back from Indonesia. The largest Muslim nation in the world is unofficially 30% Christian right now. The government will not advertise that. 30% Christian. They're having a phenomenal revival. As a matter of fact, things happen there just like the book of Acts. I could talk about Vietnam. I could talk about Cambodia. I could talk about Myanmar and Thailand. What's going on there? China, what's going on there? Iran, as a matter of fact, mass revivals taking place with the young people in Iran. There's more Christians today than the first 1,000 years of the history of that nation. Phenomenal things are happening. People are having visions and dreams of angels, of Jesus, and becoming saved. God is moving. Africa is 50% Christian. By 2050, it'll be a Christian continent. South America has had a sustained revival of 30 years now of Pentecostal move and revival in South America. Tremendous things have happened. I could go on and on and on talking about what's going on. One of the greatest statistics is this. 100 AD, 100 years after the death of Christ, for every believer, there were 100, 300 non-believers. For every believer, there were 300 people not saved. Today, right now, for every believer, and there's 7 billion on this planet, for every believer, there's between 7 to 9 non-believers. That's how much we've closed the gap. The fastest growing movement on this planet is not what you hear in the news media. The fastest growing movement is the church. It is the church. And outside the U.S., the fastest growing movement is Pentecostal churches. Because when you get on the field, you need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And they find that out. The church is growing tremendously. Great things are happening. You may not hear about it on the news because those things don't make news, but it's making headlines in heaven. Things are moving, and we are seeing a great move of God. Just in the country that I talked about earlier that I lived in, you know, we have a meeting coming up you need to pray for. We had to turn away people at this meeting. We don't have enough room for them. So we just say, stop coming. That's what we have to do where I live. Stop coming. We have no more place for you. And we had people come. When I first came there, they came to our meetings. They had a half or a part of Brother Hagin's book or a part of the Bible. And you can buy in China, you can buy on the train a seat, you can buy a ticket for a bed, a hard sleeper, they call it. You can buy a seat where you sit, or you can buy a ticket to stand. And most of our guys had to buy tickets to stand 17 hours. And they'd stand 17 hours on the train, come into the meeting, and sit 7 hours to hear the Word of God. Just sit on the edge of their seat to hear the Word of God. And that's still happening. Matter of fact, this meeting that we're having, all of the guys coming cannot find sleepers. It's full. They're buying a seat for 27 hours they're going to sit and come to this meeting. 27 hours on a train to hear the Word of God for 4 days. That's the hunger. That's the desire. That's the passion. Hallelujah. And God honors that. God is moving in a mighty way, in a great way, all over the world. Now, what can we do? I want to share something with you that's spiritual, that everyone can be involved with. And you don't even have to leave the comfort of your house. I'm not going to give an invitation to the mission field, so you don't have to worry. Not going to do that. Remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I planted, Apollos what? Watered, and God gave the increase. Now, I was raised on a farm. I understand farming. You have to have three things to have a harvest. Now, the sun is constant. We're not talking about that. But you have to have water, you have to have soil, you have to have seed. Which of those three elements is the most important? All of them. All of them. You remove one of those components, you have no harvest. Now, you can fast and pray for revival every day, but if no seed is planted, you'll never have a harvest. The seed, Jesus said, is the Word of God. It is the Word of God. The Holy Spirit has to have something to work with. He's not going to work just with man's word. He's going to work with God's word. Remember, in Mark chapter 16, they went everywhere. They went everywhere preaching what? The word, the Holy Spirit, or the Lord working with them, confirming the word. So if there's nothing, no action, there is no manifestation. We're waiting for revival. We're waiting for God to do something, but He's waiting for us to act. When we act, when we plant the seed, when we preach, when we go out, then the Holy Spirit moves. He confirms the word. He's waiting for us to plant. He's waiting for us to preach, to lay hands on the sick. He'll confirm it. Can you imagine in this community, what if 100 people went out and started laying hands on the sick? We'd have a little bit of a manifestation. What if 1,000 people, what if 10,000 people did that? There'd be a revival. Amen. He's waiting for us to act. He's waiting for us to use the word, the seed. Then there'll be a great manifestation. Amen. Hallelujah. I remember during the charismatic renewal. How many remember that? You couldn't go anywhere. You could go to hotels. You could go to restaurants and people were praying for one another. Getting filled with the Holy Spirit in restaurants, in hotels, in elevators. Why? Because they went everywhere preaching the word. And the Holy Spirit confirmed the word with signs following. All right, real quick. Three things here that you can do. In Ephesians chapter 6, I'm not going to take the time, but Paul talks about the weapons of our warfare are not carnal in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. But here in Ephesians chapter 6, he talks about we fight, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And then he lists the devil's organization. And then he talks about the armor of God. And then in verse 18, he says what? Praying. Always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. All that armor is for prayer. Because once you enter into the prayer arena, you need that armor on. Now, there's three things for this harvest to come that I want you to understand. Number one, Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1 says, ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. Zechariah 10, 1. I'm going to quote these because I don't have time to turn to them. You can write them down, look them up, read them. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. Is it time? Is it the latter rain? Yes, it is. Now notice he said, you ask. Why doesn't God just pour it out? Because he's waiting for us to ask. John Wesley said, it seems that God is so limited that he can do nothing for humanity unless someone asks him. Why? Because God has delegated authority to the church. And when we pray in the name of Jesus, then God can move and manifest himself. Ask ye of the Lord rain. Send the rain, Lord. Send the rain here. In Nanuet, send the rain in New York. Send the rain in the East Coast. Send the rain in the U.S. Send the rain in South America, North America. Send the rain in China. Send the rain everywhere. Send the rain. The rain is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Number two, Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 38. When Jesus saw the multitude, Matthew 9, 37, 38. When Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they were like sheep scattered without a shepherd. Then he said, truly, the harvest is plentiful, but what? The labors are what? Few. What's the next word? Pray ye. We would say, you got to pray. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Notice that. It's his harvest. Well, if it's his harvest, why doesn't he do something? He can't. Unless we pray. Unless we give him permission through prayer to move and manifest. Ask, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. So we have to have water. We have to have laborers. We have to have seed. That is the word of God. We know that. The third thing found in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. He said, first of all, prayers, supplications, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for who? All men. He didn't specify saved men or unsaved men. He said all men. All men. Then he went on to talk about leaders. He talked about kings and leaders. Then he said that we might live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So three things right now that I want to encourage you to pray for. We need a movement, again, of intercession. In the early 80s, we had a movement of intercession. It started getting off a little bit. Brother Hagin had to do some teaching, but then it just disappeared. We need a movement of true biblical, scriptural intercession and supplication. Intense prayer, because James said the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person makes tremendous power available. And that's what we need. Not human power, God's power. And when God's power shows up, things change. It is the anointing that breaks the yoke. Just that lady walked into the presence of God, both eyes instantly healed. No one needs to pray. No one needs to touch them. When God's presence is there, manifest, it is the anointing that changes people. Paul said, I did not come to you with the wisdom of man's words or the words of man's wisdom, enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. He said, my speech and my preaching was in demonstration of the Spirit and power. Amen. That's what changes things. Amen. Hallelujah. Your prayers right here from your own living room can change nations, can affect things around you. There's no distance in the spiritual realm. So we need to pray for rain. Now, understand the seed has to get in. That's what we're doing. That's our responsibility. We have to get the seed in. The seed is the word of God. We've got to preach. We've got to teach. We have to have materials. We have to get that in. Once the seed is there, we need to pray for rain. We need to pray for laborers. We need to pray for leaders. You know, Brother Hagin said in the mid-80s, we've been praying for Russia at that time the wrong way. We were praying for the persecuted church in Russia, and the Lord said, start praying for the leaders, the communist leaders. And so they did, and in 1989, the wall came down. Amen. We can affect a change. The church can affect a change. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. Judgment was stayed on Sodom and Gomorrah because of one man interceding for his relative Lot. And he said, surely there's got to be 10 there, that big city. Surely there's got to be 10. But there wasn't. But I'm convinced that God would have spared it for Lot, because Lot fled to Zoar, which is in the plain of Sodom and Gomorrah, and that city was spared. Think about the impact and the effect that you have in this nation, in this world, because you're a believer. You are the light. You are the salt. We are holding back darkness. We are holding back coming judgment because we're still here, because we're praying, because we're preaching the word, because we're involved in God's kingdom. You are very important to God. Very important in this time and in this hour. And let me close with this. This is something I read Martin Luther said and wrote and recorded. He said, I've held many things in my hands and I've lost them all, but whatever I've placed in God's hands, that I still possess. You know, we get upset because we lose something. Stock market goes down a few points, this and that, the other thing. You don't know what you have and what's waiting for you. And whatever you put in God's hands, that's what you possess. It's eternal. We are laying up treasure. We're laying up treasure that moth and rust cannot corrupt. And our treasure is what we take with us, spiritually speaking. What we do spiritually is our treasure. Hallelujah. Those things that God has placed on the inside of you, those spiritual gifts and abilities, what He wants you to do, that's what we are to focus on. Amen. You can make a difference. Regardless of what you hear or see around you, you can make a difference. You are a child of God. You're in the family of God, in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the gates of hell cannot stop the church. If we understand who we are and we use our authority in the name of Jesus. Let me encourage you. These are exciting days. This is the greatest time to be alive. The greatest time. I like a challenge. It just does something to your faith. When nothing's going on, you get lazy. Huh? Come on now. You get lazy. But man, when you have to pray and you have to, you know, it's like the guy, you know, who got down, he's kind of backslidden, you know, and he got down and said, Oh Lord, shake me. Oh Lord, shake me. And you know, just then after a few weeks, some things started happening. You know, and he got back right with God, and you know, he got colder, the things of God, got down on his knees, started praying again. Oh Lord, shake me. He remembered what happened last time. He said, forget it, I'll shake myself. Sometimes we just need to shake ourselves. Stir up the gift of God that's on the inside. Stir it up, fan the flame, add fuel to the fire. Hallelujah. We're not going down, we're going forward. We're moving forward into all the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is a mighty moving force that cannot be stopped. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this church. Thank you. Thank you for this church that is a lighthouse and a witness and a testimony. Father, right now, before we close this service, I want to make sure there's not one person here that does not know you as their Lord and Savior. When I was 8 years of age, I responded to that call, and I walked down an aisle, and I knelt at the altar, and I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. I was not ashamed of Jesus or His word or His testimony. If you're here today and you do not know where you are going when you die, you can know. John said, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have life. God loves you so much. He paid a great price. He shed the blood of Jesus. Jesus died and suffered on the cross, physically and spiritually for you, so that you could become the righteousness of God in Christ. Don't leave this auditorium if you're not born again without knowing Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You say, I just don't know. Would you pray for me? Would you pray for me before I leave so that I know that I'm a child of God? If that's you, I want to see your hand right now. Let me see your hand. I want to pray for you right where you are, right where you're seated. Right where you're seated. We're looking. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Or you say, I used to follow God, but I've drifted away from Him, the things of God, and He's calling me back. I need to rededicate my life to Him and follow Him and serve Him. Pray for me. Either one of those two invitations. I need to know Jesus, or I want to come back to Him and serve Him and follow Him. I'm looking. Anyone at all, raise your hand. I'll pray for you right where you're seated. This is the most important part of this service. It's life and death. It's eternity. We'll look one more time. One more time. I don't want to miss anyone. If you're embarrassed to raise your hand before you leave this place, you look around. There's lots of wonderful people standing, men and women standing here all over. Tap one of them on the shoulder and say, pray for me. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we love you guys. We love you. Thank you for inviting us to come. We appreciate it. Thank you so much, Pastor Sarah. Thank you guys, Pastors Greg. And we appreciate everything that you've done, Ed. And so thank you again. We love you. Pray for us. If you think about us, pray for us and what God's doing in China. God bless you, Pastor.